Surprise! Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the dojo, we're back. Karate Cafe. Well, I'm here, Pete Shambo. We've been off for a while, and with me tonight is my co-host, Paul Wilson. Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Hey, Pete, how are you? And I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while. So, been traveling the world, or?
I've been up on a high mountaintop. Training with a Zen master underneath a waterfall every morning.
A waterfall on top of a mountain. That must have been an interesting waterfall.
Well, you had to throw the water up, and then, you know, you do your techniques, right?
Okay.
And then you got to catch it in the bucket.
Oh, very good. Very good. I like that. So, yeah.
That's what's taken so long. It's kind of hard to do that, y'all.
Yeah, so it's been, I don't even know when our last podcast was. It's been probably a year.
Well, I don't know if it's been that long, but it's been quite a while. But yeah. I can actually probably look it up real quick with the power of the internet.
I think when we last left everybody, I was in the midst of a life. Don't remember exactly how much I revealed on the podcast, but I was in the midst of a life change. I'm rolling alone now, and I've moved to another city. And, well, I still have the same job. I'm closer to the job now. I'm not affiliated with any dojo. I've done a search for some dojos in the area. I really haven't seen anything that I like. I've got a lot.
For our listeners, I have termed this your Ronin period.
My Ronin period. Thank you. What I have been doing is a solo practice, doing a lot of kata, a lot of just basic training on my own, just to keep up my chops. Mm-hmm. Pretty much that's it. That's. And
where are you working out? Are you working out in your living room? Are you working out in the park? Of course, you know, up east, it's just now starting to get warm enough to go outside, I guess.
Well, it's funny. I'm seeing somebody who, she does yoga. And when she does yoga, when she goes up to into her yoga room, I go down into her living room and I do some kata, or I do some breakfalls or something, you know, just to keep it up. And, you know, I might be doing it for 10 minutes or I might be doing it for 45 minutes. It all depends on how good my, you know, what frame of mind I'm in. I do it 2, 3, 4 times a week, at least twice, probably on average 3 times a week.
And how do you feel about your level of training? I mean, do you feel like you're maintaining, or, you know, do you feel like you've slept a little bit, or?
I feel like, to be honest, I feel like I've slipped. It's certainly better than doing nothing. I feel like I'm definitely not growing. And for me, it was as much mental as physical, like for a lot of people out there. I'm at the point now, I did it affiliated with a dojo for 14 years. So, I mean, I've got enough practical experience that I can do it on my own, and I'm not lost. But not having somebody to work against, I think, is letting me slip. Well, you did it for a while too, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Training in White Rock Park.
Okay.
So, yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's, yeah, you're doing it, and I guess the good thing is, you know, there's no one around you, so you can kind of do what you want to do. You can try some silly kick or, you know, funky technique, you know, in the air, obviously. That you maybe wouldn't normally, because you're kind of in your mode of, you know, whatever curriculum you're working. So, I mean, I imagine that's going to be the pretty good thing. And I'm sure you're probably taking this time to kind of maybe try and look at a couple of different arts and maybe see if there's something else that you want to try.
Yeah, I have been looking at a couple of different arts. And but once again, excuse me here. And once again, it's a matter of time, funds, Part of the changes in my life have limited my funds to a certain extent right now. Time, funds, and interest. I like what I was doing. I like the dojo I was at so much. It's going to be hard to find something that mimics that experience. It wasn't just the art. It was, well, you saw it. Gene was on here for a while, and he left for other reasons. He's still at that dojo, but. He's still a good friend, and you know, it's just you saw how he and I got along, and that's pretty much how our dojo was, and that's what I'm looking for in a dojo, and I don't think I'll ever find it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's hard to, and foster that sort of relationship, and especially walking in fresh, you're the new guy, and you were probably one of the old timers at your old dojo, it got a lot to do with your relationship with your instructor. It's got a lot to do with your knowledge of the art, your comfort level, all that stuff. And I felt the exact same way when one of the reasons I didn't, when I moved down here to Dallas, there's another Shorinru. Well, there's a couple other Shorinru schools, but there's a good one that I found, and I went and trained with them when I came down here to visit, and really nice people, and they invited me, come train and, come work out. But it was just a little different flavor of Shorinru, and everything I, could see from their website, it seemed like they were a very social club, and they, seemed to get together and do a lot of things and seminars and whatnot. Then when I came down here and trained with them, everybody was very nice, and the instructor was great and very open. But I really felt like I was like, okay, but I'm still going to be the odd man out because I'm the new guy, and plus I'd have the learning curve of trying to pick up what they did, which it wasn't that far off by any stretch of the imagination, but it was, still there's that little thing which kind of keeps me going like, well, I'm just going to stick with what I got because I've been doing it for so long, and I intended to open a dojo at some point, so I didn't really want to, maybe train with somebody and get, 6-8 months down the line and then get off from training, in a dojo, opening my own dojo, which is kind of where I was excited to do. So why don't you open up your own dojo, Pete?
Well, I've thought about that. I honestly have. I've even scouted space to a certain extent. First of all, I'm a second degree, and we all know people that are 12th degrees that have taken karate for 5 or 6 years that have opened their own dojos. So, that it's a limitation for me, but not necessarily a limitation. But I don't know. I would have to be affiliated with another dojo, and that's certainly something I could look into too. I don't know. It's something I've looked at, but what strikes me is when you started, when you first came on this podcast, you were training alone, and Gene and I were both affiliated with the dojo, and it's interesting how it's flipped around now.
Yeah, that's completely true. It's it's kind of funny. We were talking about doing the before the podcast. We were talking about it. It's like the yin and the yang of, before it was I was going solo, and you guys had your dojo. Now I've got my dojo, and you're flying solo.
Yeah.
So, that is kind of strange, isn't it?
Yeah. So how's your dojo going? How's that for a segue?
I think it's I'm really happy with it. Where January was 1 year at the same location at a yoga studio, I started out with one student, and now I have 8. 1 year later. So,
oh, congratulations! Very good.
Thanks. And now, to be fair, let me put the caveat because I know at least one of my students listens to this podcast. A few of the students came from another school that actually had shut down. That was also here, another one of our styles. So it's not like I fostered them all in. It was like I was, the default position. But they enjoy themselves and they keep coming back. So. I got a website and I've gotten a few people that have found me from the website. I've managed to keep I don't really make any money off of it, but I also don't charge a lot for it. And I've had at least one student who said they were really excited about martial arts and they really wanted to train for it for a long time, but they really couldn't afford it until they found me. Which I guess is kind of a backhanded compliment. You're so cheap. You're like the Walmart of karate.
Well, when people look for schools, they really don't know what they're looking for. They know that they're not looking to spend a lot of money, but other than that, they're...
On the upside, the student that I was talking about, she had actually contacted several dojos in the area, several, kung fu schools and aikido schools, and because she was really more interested in weapons. But and so she found my website and she contacted me and we talked and she came and checked out the class and I was, I told her, I said, well, you really need to learn the empty hand stuff. I just don't teach either one, And But and she said, well, the thing that really cemented it for me was the way you teach class, which was a big compliment for me, and the way people interact with each other in class, the way, you know, you made the class feel. And she said, and also because I can afford it.
Well, yeah. And that's what it comes down to. It's not just that. I mean, you and I know, and large majority of our listeners know what to look for in a style, not just to go to somebody that's, once again, a 12th degree teaching karate. But also there's the way the lessons are taught, and that makes a huge difference to a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've had a couple people who've come in and checked out the class, and I've never seen them again. You know, I can just at least one of them, I can pretty much tell that, you know, I'm never seeing this person again. You know, just the questions they were asking, and I could tell kind of what they were going for was not what I was teaching. And I'm like, I'm fine, you know, as long as I got, you know, one student, then I can work out. But what I am finding out, ironically, is the fact that although I'm, you know, have two regular classes a week, I actually feel like I'm slipping somewhat because I'm so busy teaching. I'm so busy teaching, essentially, that I really don't focus as much on my stuff. And I've got, you know, two more weapons katas I'm learning now, and one more empty hand kata that I'm supposed to be learning for Yandan, and I never get to work on it. Which I'm sure some of our listeners are going to be like, well, get up in the morning and get under that waterfall. But I don't have a waterfall here. Yeah. So I'm kind of stuck.
Well, then, and what rank is your highest ranked student?
Green belt, 5th Q.
Okay, 5th Q. Well, so he's getting to the point where he can at least give you some assistance.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that from the start, yeah, we used to do it all the time back when, you know, when I was a white belt. It's like when you were like essentially about a 7th Q, you could start teaching basics. You know, you could, I mean, not so much, you know, teaching the classroom people, but you could say like, you know, here's, you know, somebody who's a 10th Q and a 9th Q, and go, you know, help them with their basics, you know, help them with whatever the kata is. You guys can work together. Or there's the new guy. I've shown him this and this, you know, three blocks. You work with them on those blocks, and I'm going to go down over here. And that's a good thing because they, you know, my senior student has actually been doing martial arts. He's in another style, so he's confident and he knows what he's doing, and I've got faith in him to, you know, I say teach this and this and this, and that's what he teaches him, and you know, he talks about it from his training angle of having done it for a while. So the pressure's off a little bit, but then mostly what I use that for is an opportunity to go and work with the lower students on something else. So again, I'm still not really, you know, it's like I either got to get up there and get in there early before class, or maybe try and get it after class, or because I'm just too lazy to do it at home. I don't know what it is. I need to have a location. That's the reason why I started training in the park, because I need to have a location to go to.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. You know, I mean, I could do it in my apartment. My living room's big enough. I could do just about any kata. But when I'm in my apartment, I've got a million other things I can do. Even when I'm over my my lady friend's house, you know, there's just something about not being where you live that makes it more conducive to practicing the. I guess it's like with doing work. I don't like to do work at home.
Oh yeah, when I work from home, it's really hard to get me to focus for any length of time. And it's the same thing with, well, you know, I could get up early and work out, but you know, it's like. You know, I was like up, maybe up late the night before, or, you know, I could just sleep in a little bit more. And now that it's getting warmer and the sun's up later, it's going to be a little bit easier to kind of get it done. But anyway, so I guess, you know, it's kind of funny that we're both kind of seeing the same effect from two different things. You know, because I'm training on the basics and I'm working the basics a lot, which is great. But it's like all my upper stuff I'm actually slipping on.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm looking through some of our notes here I'll give you credit that you got some great notes for what we were going to talk about tonight. Now the board and email has been pretty actually one of the reasons we're doing at least for my part that I want to do a podcast again or want to start up again is. We never got a lot of email, but in the past month, I've gotten maybe three. And, you know, all of a sudden people are saying, where are you? Where have you been? You know, and that they do want this podcast again. So that was an impetus for me to come back, because, like I said, while we never got a lot of email, we did get, you know, one a month or so, and it was nice. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, people are starting to email me.
Yeah, I would get a few emails that, you know, what's going on, you know, where are you guys at? And the board kind of went cold for a while, and it's kind of picked up a little bit in the last couple of weeks. There's been a couple of interesting topics on there. And so that's essentially what I did. I don't know what the emails that you got were, but I'm sure they're essentially the same thing that I got, which was, you know, where are you guys at? What's going on?
Well, I got one that actually the three that we've gotten, three different people, they're basically the same thing as, I enjoy listening to your podcast. There was no reference to the fact that we hadn't done one in a while. It was like they were listening contemporaneous to right now, you know, they said, when you do your next podcast, well, you've got it in your notes here, and that's why I'm bringing it up, is they wanted to hear about other styles. They wanted to hear other people talk about their style. Mm-hmm. They wanted us to do interviews.
Yeah, and I addressed this. That was actually on the board when I created a thread just to see if someone, you know, wanted to, what they thought, you know, we needed to do. Did they even want the podcast back? Did they give a crap? And I never got anyone who said, like, no, we don't ever want to listen to it again. You guys suck. But, yeah, there was a lot of them that were, you know, they'd say, like, I wish there was more diversity in it, and there's a little more, you know, there's things going on that, you know, you could address. And I think I addressed a lot of that on the board, which, you know, which is like, yeah, sure, we want to be diverse, but the fact is we were three Show and Rue guys. So as much as we may have dabbled in other styles, you know, we've asked before, you know, send us an email, tell us you want to come on. You know, we had interviews with one of our listeners, Travis, who I hope is still listening, and the reason why we didn't get his second podcast on was your laptop got stolen, right?
Yeah,
it was on there. So, Travis, if you're listening, the reason why we didn't get your show, we had a really nice interview with him. Remember, he had just started martial arts. For those of you just tuning in, he had started martial arts, I believe, with his daughter. And we were going to be checking in with him periodically to see, you know, how it's going. And so I think it was after his next test or something we interviewed him.
Yeah, it's fuzzy now.
Anyway, we had a really nice podcast all ready to go, and then we did some stuff, and then, I don't know, then we got off track, and that one kind of got put in a can, and then your laptop got stolen. So, yeah. Travis, send us an email.
Yeah, really. Which is why you may or may not hear music before this podcast. The music got stolen with the laptop. Everything went with the laptop.
It's all, but not our love of the arts.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess what we're trying to get at with this, the note that I made was, if you're from a different style of karate, if you're from our good friends over in the mixed martial art world, if you're from our good friends in the kung fu world, taekwondo, or whatever, we don't care. If you think you'd like to come on the show and maybe describe your style or talk about a topic or whatever, suggest a topic, click on the button and send us an email. What's the email address, Pete?
KarateCafe@gmail.com. I think in our defense, although we're all Show and Rue guys, we have tried to be deferential to the other arts. I'm speaking for Gene now. Gene will be back from time to time, too. But, you know, we all understand that there
our
is...
Minister of Sensitivity.
But we all understand that there is no one best art, except for the art we know. There is no one best art. And like I said, we've always tried to show respect to the other arts, except for, and this is even within styles, there are people that promote themselves beyond their art. I'll put it that way. Does that make sense, Paul?
Yeah, or beyond their ability.
Beyond their ability. Okay, and that's within all the arts. That's mm-hmm. Certainly nobody has a monopoly on that. But you know, if you want to come on and talk about your style, if you have some I'll get a little funky here. If you have some computer cred, if you want to send us an MP3 or a WAV file, you know, do that, and maybe we'll, if we get a few of those, maybe we'll play them back. If there are questions or comments or whatever, we'll play them back on the air here, and everybody else can listen to you talk about your style or ask questions, and we'll do what we can with that.
Yeah, I mean, trying to get people on here. One of the things that really kind of got us down, to be honest, was just the fact that we were doing these essentially every week. You know, and then it kind of dropped down, and we, we're got families, we got training, we got, whatever. And just the sheer volume, not like we put a whole lot of production value into this, but Pete works pretty hard, editing it together, and I'm generally trying to research stuff so we can talk about it. But it'd be great to have a couple extra people that could come in here and, maybe rotate through, or, could just, so we have to talk one third less. Or two thirds, if we get a couple people on here and you get like a roundtable discussion or something. Mm-hmm. Essentially, what we're saying is, I'm throwing down the Marshall Gauntlet.
Yeah.
I'm issuing a challenge to the Karate Cafe message board and the listeners out there. If you think you got what it takes to join us, then do so, because it doesn't cost anything.
And to be fair, what it takes is a Skype internet, an internet connection, Skype, which is free. And a headset. I'll do the recording. I've got a mixing board and whatnot on this end to do the recording. Even if I don't participate in some of the podcasts, I mean, I'm looking down the road, Paul. And, maybe if we have two or three people that want to get in at once, and they all sound good and they get along together, maybe I'll bow out and I'll just do the recording. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, press record and then
yeah.
And I'll text you when we're done.
Yeah, and we can do a lot of different things. The whole object of this podcast from the time it started was to get a conversation going in the martial arts. Not any kind. It's not a broadcast. It's a conversation. And I've always likened it. And Gene and I actually did the first podcast this way. This is the Friday after class, after you have your advanced class on Friday, when everybody goes down to the bar and has dinner and a few drinks. That's what this podcast is supposed to be. And it shouldn't be limited to Shorin Ryu or any one kind of art. Like I said, that's where Gene and I, our first podcast was from the back of a bar. So, I don't know.
I remember that. I remember hearing that. I remember a waitress came and took your order the first minute of the show or something.
Yeah, they didn't quite understand what we were doing. I had the equipment all on the table.
I thought that was one of the things that when I first checked it out, I was like, well, that's – and coming from a broadcasting background, I was kind of like aghast. By the same token, I'm like, yeah, this is just like guys sitting around talking. One of the other things that I would love for our listeners and readers on the board and various and sundry, whatever, essentially, you guys can tell I haven't talked to anybody in a while, is if you know somebody that we might want to interview. If your instructor is, somebody great, drop us a line, or like Pete says, you can, record a WAV file or an MP3 and send it to us, email it to karatecafe@gmail.com and say, my instructor is really cool because he does this and, he knows these people and blah. And maybe we'll contact him and set up an interview, or we'll interview you and talk to your school, talk to you about your school, or, the door is open. I mean, the subjects are unlimited within the context of it's all about martial arts, and there's a bazillion martial arts out there. So, somebody's got to be out there who wants to talk about it.
Yeah, and my only caveat, and with this audience, I think they already know how I feel about this. But there's no trash talk. There's no. I liken it to the National Public Radio of podcasting, and while we're talking heads, we're opinionated. Our opinions aren't personal. It's about the art and how we feel about it. It's not about how other people are, with some exceptions.
However, there may be good-natured ribbing.
Yes, good-natured ribbing is allowed.
And required often. I know there's probably been three or four people who have, heard us joking about, the International Karate Cafe World Hall of Fame of America, You know, and some of that is good-natured ribbing, and some of it is as deadly serious as a martial artist of, you know, where martial arts are going or how martial arts are done.
Yeah, well, we've made fun of that particular thing. We haven't singled out any of those. It's the genre that we've commented on, not any single group that is perpetuating that type of thing.
Yeah, and you know, I know on the board we've maybe named some names on the board from time to time, and I've never had anyone email me and say you're wrong, or you shouldn't be doing that, and I've never seen anybody really post that on the board, and you know, it's not a challenge or anything else, but you know, if anyone's feelings are hurt, you know, if anyone feels that they've been misrepresented, for the love of God, email us and we'll get you on the show.
Yeah.
You know, we had a guy who I've actually met who trains down here in Dallas who took umbrage to some of the things that we said on a podcast. And, you know, I emailed him and I've talked with him and I'm sure he's probably more than willing to come on the show.
Oh, that would be good.
I'm probably about 15 minutes after this cast hits the air, I'm probably going to get an email from him saying, giddy up.
sounds good to me.
You know, we've talked about we talked about it on the show. And then, you know, I talked about it with him offline in an email, and it was essentially like, you know, it's an opinion. You know, right or wrong, it's an opinion. And it's what I think. But, you know, you're willing to come on. So if anyone, you know, is rubbed the wrong way, let us know, and we'll have you on the show. We have nothing to fear and nothing to hide.
Sounds good. If we got anything else to talk about tonight?
But the only thing I can say is I saw Forbidden Kingdom with Jet Li and Jackie Chan.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
And it was pretty good. You know, I mean, it wasn't – it was a little more – like Jackie Chan was a little more, you know, I guess hardcore. You know, his techniques was a little more, you know, rough. He was, you know, he was beating people up. He, you know, stabbing people. You know, he was going at it. It wasn't, you know, jokey Jackie Chan guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was pretty cool watching him and Jet Li, you know, go to town.
Did they fight each other?
They fought each other.
Oh, I like that. I gotta see.
Only once, really, but it was a pretty good lengthy scene. And I'm not gonna tell you who won because, as we all know, it's not about who wins or loses, but you know, how well they play the game.
How big the tickets, what do they call it, the box office is?
The box office, yeah. The only complaint I had was, you know, once again, it's like, it's, you know, they got Jet Li and Jackie Chan. Okay, you know, there's a couple of, but then they had like really essentially no other like name actors under there. And they had, you know, like the young Caucasian individual who, you know, had to learn kung fu to, you know, protect himself and blah, blah, blah. And they always get these guys who are just like the schlubbiest looking, you know, like, which I mean, I guess is maybe indicative of, you know, the fantasy of all teenagers everywhere who, you know, won't actually go out and train in the martial arts, but will say, you know, like the whole thing is he watches kung fu movies all the time and he's all eaten up with kung fu movies. And it's like, well, how about going down to a kung fu school?
Yeah.
And train.
Yeah.
So, and so that was the kind of thing which the cynic in me was kind of like going, well, there's another one. But the movie looked great and, you know, a lot of wire work, but a lot of stuff that wasn't wire work that also looked great. So go see it. Support the economy.
I think I shall.
But take public transportation.
Well, I'll do it with my stimulus $600. That's what I'll do with it.
There you go.
So that's a joke for those in the United States, by the way.
That's right, because we are heard from around the world. Yeah, and then I'm wondering, you know, what's that, I guess, is a good point, and maybe this could be a topic that someone could bring up on the board, is, you know, how are the gas prices and the economy going to affect the martial arts? Because, you know, like a lot of my students, you know, here in Dallas, everything is at least a half hour away from wherever you're at. You know, and I've had a lot of people who said, you know, like half hour, that's kind of far to drive. And because, you know, for something to, you know, essentially a workout. But, you know, $4 and $5 a gallon of gas, you know, how's that going to hurt dojos? How's that going to hurt training? How's that going to hurt seminars and everything else?
Well, I agree. I mean, I've downsized my car, amongst other things, for because of the gas prices. I got something that gets about almost double the gas mileage I was getting. But I thought in Dallas you guys just drove up to the well and just filled your tanks there. But
it runs. They have like these little aqueducts, you know, and we just spoon it into the car.
Oh, that's what I thought. But yeah, I don't know. You know, I hear that the United States gas prices are going up higher than other parts of the world, and we are heard worldwide. But they have other issues. I guess the economy is not good anywhere right now. So yeah, how does dojo owners or senior students, how is the economy affecting you? That's a good question. That's something I'd like to hear on. You know, how does it affect seminars? If you're running a seminar this summer, are your numbers down for people that are coming?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it used to be, you know, people would drive because it's cheaper than flying. Now it's kind of a wash. People have to drive, you know, a day to get somewhere. That's, you know, two tanks of gas, let's just say. Yeah, that ain't cheap, especially, you know, these days. So, I mean, I wonder if it's going to be much more of a slowdown in the martial arts circuit, you know. I wonder if it's going to be just a slowdown. I mean, people just are going to opt not to drive to the dojo.
Well, to get way off topic here, when you're talking about gas, because it's something I think about all the time right now, I'm saving, by buying my new vehicle, I'm saving about $80 a month in gas, and I don't drive a lot. I mean, it's $80 a month difference between the Jeep I had and the little subcompact that I'm driving now.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot of that's a lot of money. That's $80 a month I'm saving. I mean, and with gas prices going up, I mean, eventually I'm going to be paying the same for a tank of gas in this car that I was paying in the Jeep when I got rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I used to joke that I essentially all I made out of the dojo is gas money. Well, now I might not even actually be making gas money.
Yeah. Well, you can ride bike down there year round, so there you go. But
I'm lucky enough to be like 5 minutes. I literally could ride a bike to the dojo, and I may actually start doing that because I just bought a new bike.
Yeah.
But no, around here, like we say jokingly, everything's like a half hour away. Everything's, you know, just about a half hour away. So, I mean, but that's a half hour by car, you know. So if you're thinking about, and not to mention the fact that summer here is, you know, 5 degrees cooler than hell.
Yeah.
And maybe a bicycle's not the best, but, you know, then there's transportation of the weapons. It's a logistical nightmare, my point. But that's my original question was, yeah, just, you know, I wonder, so if you're on the boards and you feel like creating the topic, if you don't see it before the show pops up. I don't like to put up a topic before the show goes up because I want people to be able to listen to it. If it's affecting you in any way, let us know, because that's just kind of an interesting tangent of the whole economy right now. You know, are the numbers just down just because people have less money to spend?
Yeah, I mean that I think that's a good, certainly not a whole show, but that's a good thing to investigate with our listeners.
Sounds like a plan.
So,
well, I think we've run this one into the ground.
Yeah, I think we have. Well, we're back. We're a little rusty. At least I'm a little rusty. I apologize if there's any sound problems. I'm been adjusting the volumes as we went along. I hope it'll get better. I assure you it will get better.
It can't help it.
I don't know. As far as what we're going to do is, as far as regularity, we're certainly not every week, not for a while, maybe every other week.
We're dipping our toes in the water. And what we would like to hear, or what I would like to hear, I'm speaking for my brother Pete, is, you know, when we post on the board, you know, and say, you know, there's the new show, go listen to it, tell us what you think. I mean, not so much about the quality, about what we've done, because this is the first one in a while, but also, I mean, just in general, you know, about the topics we talked about tonight. I'd really like to see some activity on the board, you know, because that's one of the things that, you know, also pulled me into the podcast in the first place was, you know, the the message board angle of it, which was, you know, you kind of continue the conversation and expand on it. And that's one of the things that really pulled me in. So I'd really like to have our listeners jump in and chime in with you know, whatever it is that we're talking about. Let us know how we're doing. Go ahead and give us some ideas. Reach out and contact us again if you know, you may want to be a candidate for the squared circle of the panel here. And that's all I have to say on that matter.
Okay. And as far as MP3s, if some of you are wondering how to do an MP3, Paul pointed out that Google Talk, you have to have a Google account, a Gmail account. Google Talk makes it real easy to send MP3s to emails.
If you have a Google account, which, you know, if you're hip, you should have one. And even Pete has one. That's the good-natured ribbing right there. You can just type in creditcafe@gmail.com, add that to your contacts, and then when you put your cursor over the top of, you know, a Credit Cafe, a little tab will pop out to the side, and it has a button that'll say call or send voicemail, and you just click send voicemail. And if you have a headset and a microphone, or just a microphone, you can leave a voicemail, and it'll come straight to us, and we can hear what you want to say. And if it's a question that you don't mind broadcasting, you know, let us know. Give us your name. You know, where you're calling from. Can you say calling from, really, over the internet?
Sure.
And you know, what the question is, and that it's okay to put on the air, and we may put it on the next show, and then we may invite you to come on and gab with us.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan. Well, I think that's about it for tonight, Paul, or today, whatever time these people are listening to it. If you have any other suggestions that you'd like us to try, you know, if you'd like to see us go in a different direction, I think we're going to lean towards interviews or round panel discussions. If that's what you'd like to see more of, let us know. That's what you want. If you think maybe you'd like something else, you know, reviews. Do you like Paul's movie reviews? Would you like to see more of them? I'm sure Paul would be happy to up his account, his Netflix account.
Yeah, my wife loves that one. She gets like one romantic comedy and then one like knife defense and one, you know, Budo Killers of Death. And then she has the one, you know, Reese Witherspoon classic. She loves that. So yeah, and my wife would appreciate that.
Yeah. So,
but to jump off what you were saying, real quick, Pete, is also, but the one thing that we used to say in the Navy is, you know, if you're going to complain, you can complain, but if you don't have a solution, you're just bitching. So if you have any suggestions, if you have any, you know, you should go do this, you should do that, you should talk about this, then, you know, point us in a direction. You know, if we should talk more about Kung Fu, give us some links on Kung Fu. Give us some people to talk to, you know, or be willing to come on and talk to it about yourself.
Yeah, Wikipedia will only give us so much information.
Yeah, that's right, and he only knows how accurate that is. But, I mean, I love doing research, don't get me wrong. But I'd much rather hear it from the horse's mouth of someone who actually does whatever it is we're talking about. So, you know, don't be scared. This is not live. You can come on with us and we can talk and edit it out and fix anything you need to fix. If you've got just suggestions on, you know, maybe improving sound quality, anything, it doesn't matter. You know, let us know and let us, you know, give us some fuel to the fire to fix it.
Okay, sounds good. And for another episode of Karate Cafe, our address is karatecafe.com, and our email address is karatecafe@gmail.com. For another episode of Karate Cafe, this is Pete Shambo.
And I'm Paul Wilson.
And we'll talk to you next time.